end up across town. Someone always brought him back. And sometimes, he'd walk inside in the morning and sit at the kitchen table and call me Shayna, like he was existing in some other time. His eyes might drift to my stomach those days, and he might say something like, "I hope it's a girl this time. He needs a sister, someone to protect. It will make him a better man." It was a week after we brought Dad home when I noticed I was 4 days behind on my pills. It was 2 weeks later when I noticed the same nausea, the same feeling of bone tiredness that I'd felt in Corinne's bathroom 2 days before everything changed. Tyler's been renovating room by room, making a place for us. My bedroom will be the nursery. Daniel's old room will become Tyler's office. He had to gut my parents' room before I could sleep in it, repainting it, putting in carpet and new furniture. I thought of Laura, of the hoops she made Daniel jump through, and I thought I understood. Despite the tiredness, I still have trouble sleeping in long stretches. Sometimes I can't differentiate night and day, sleep and wake. And sometimes the tremble comes back in my right hand, so I press it to my stomach to keep steady. I'm still scared. I feel like it's all too close to the surface, that it would only take a nudge and our fragile story would tumble down, crack open, exposing us. But it hasn't yet. I think we'll be okay. How do I sleep at all, after everything? I don't know who it would help at this point to tell. Corinne was beautiful and a monster, and I loved her once. But in the end, I abandoned her, like everyone else. In the end, she made me kill her. There. There's my confession. But she was the most deliberate person I knew. She knew what she was doing. She had to. That's how I sleep at night. But sometimes, she's all I can think about. And that night, barreling straight for me. Sometimes when I'm falling asleep, I see her eyes in the headlights, locked on mine. On those nights, as on this one, Tyler pulls me closer, like he knows. If there's a feeling to home, it's this. A place where there are no secrets, where nothing stays buried, not the past and not yourself. Where you can be all the versions of you and see it all reflected back as you walk the same stairs, the same halls, the same rooms. Feel the ghost of your mother as you sit at the kitchen table. Hear the words of your father circling round and round over dinner, and your brother stopping by, wishing you'd be a little better, a little stronger, just checking in to be sure. And Tyler. Of course, Tyler. Its four walls echoing back everything you've ever been and everything you've ever done, and it's the people who stay despite it all, through it all, for it all, where you can stop fearing the truth, let it be part of you, take it to bed, stare it in the face with an arm tucked around you. The truth, then. The truth is, I'm terrified of all I have to lose and how close I will always be to losing it. But it happened before, and I survived it. I like to believe that's what Everett saw in me, and what Tyler knows, that I survive. It's only one thing, but it's also everything. Pick yourself up. Start over again.
All the Missing Girls was written by Megan Miranda and read by Rebecca Ross. Editing and post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, Technical Director. The associate producer was Louisa Solomon. The mix engineer was Ashley Lehman. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. All the Missing Girls is available in print from Simon & Schuster.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.